But just take a serious look at what it means for us to follow Jesus Christ and to serve Him and to serve His church. And in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 13 through 15, Paul writes to us and he says, "For you are called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." So this idea of being free in Christ and being free to serve is what Paul tells us in these verses. And he begins by saying to us that we were called. Now, he's talking to believers, and what he means by that is, believer, you and I have been chosen by God to receive some benefit. Now, the way that this is written is that this calling took place at some point in our past. We were called to be chosen by God to be given some great benefit, which we're going to see in just a minute. But this calling having taken place in the past, we have to pinpoint when that calling was. This calling, this being chosen by God, happened on the day, the very moment of your salvation. That you were chosen by your relationship with Jesus Christ and placing your faith in Him and trusting Him to receive some great benefit. So he's talking about our day of salvation, the day that you came into a relationship with Jesus Christ. What were you called to? Verse 13 says you were called to freedom. This is the benefit that was given to you the moment that you accepted Christ as your Savior and Lord. You were given liberty. You were given this great gift of freedom as part of your new relationship with Jesus. Now, what does this mean? The image of liberty, the image of freedom, is the idea that you were bound in chains. You were bound and restrained, restricted, and now you have been set free. And so Paul says, through this calling, entering into this relationship with Jesus Christ, the salvation that you receive through Him sets you free. It frees you. It unrestrains you. It loosens your restraints. And for what purpose? Well, before he gives us the purpose, he actually gives us a warning about this freedom that we have been given in Jesus Christ. You see, being set free, we've been set free from something to something. What we've been set free from is the thing that has held us captive since Adam and Eve fell to obey God in the Garden of Eden, and that is sin. That is the thing that has restrained every one of us in our life, is our sinful nature. We are, by our very nature, sinful, evil beings desiring our own way, our own passions instead of the things of God. And we have been set free from that because of what Christ has done. And being set free from sin, he gives us this warning. Only do not turn your freedom, this benefit that you have because of your relationship with Christ, do not turn it into an opportunity for the flesh. Now, the idea of turning this freedom that you have in Christ is the picture of corrupting it and misusing it in a way in which God never intended for you or for me to use this freedom. That's what it means to turn it into something else. We're going to corrupt it. We're going to use it for something that God didn't give it to us for. And what we have to understand is here that Paul is saying that this can be turned, this freedom that we have can be turned into an opportunity for the flesh. The picture of flesh in Scripture always deals with selfishness. It deals with your own desires. It deals with the body and the mind that is set out to consume and to take and to seek out our own benefit. And so what Paul is telling us is that this freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, this freedom loosed from sin, no longer bound by sin, free and covered in the righteousness of Christ, can be corrupted by you and by me if we take that freedom and we turn it into a selfish pursuit of something else, either our own passions, our own desires, whatever it may be. When we corrupt the freedom that we have in Christ, we misuse that gift of freedom that God has given us. Now, what does that look like? One of the simple ways to understand what that looks like is this. There are many people in church this morning here and in other places around the world, and particularly in our country right now, that are sitting in church and in their mindset, they have this understanding that I have prayed a prayer, I have been baptized in water, and I have my ticket to heaven. That's all that I need. And I need nothing else from the church. I need to offer nothing else. I've done everything that I need to do in order to gain eternal life for myself. When you make salvation a free pass to heaven, you have corrupted the freedom that you have in Jesus Christ. There are other ways that we corrupt this freedom, where we come to church and we know that we are saved, and maybe in sitting in church, we find a position of leadership. Someone offers us a position of authority, and through that authority, in ways, we use it to drive our own agenda rather than driving and working for the will and the mission of God. When you use church to promote any type of your own desires, your own selfishness, your own ways, or when you use church in order to fulfill within your life or within your family's life, for your children, for your marriage, when you use that church to fulfill some perceived need that you have, or a desire or a want that you have, you are corrupting the freedom that you have in Jesus Christ. When church becomes about you and not about God and His mission of reaching the lost, you have corrupted the freedom that you have in Jesus Christ. When church becomes about which program is better for me and for my children, what does this church offer me and my family, you have corrupted the freedom that you have in Jesus Christ. And Paul warns us, before he explains to us why we have been given this freedom, he warns us not to corrupt it. That it has been given to us through Christ Himself, through the gospel, through this thing that changes our lives and brings us into a right relationship with Christ. We have been set free for a purpose. And it's not the purpose of fulfilling our own desires. It's not the purpose of going and pursuing our own passions. It's not the purpose of making things the way that we want them. It is for an entirely different purpose that goes completely against our nature. You see, the gospel takes everything that we think that we know and turns it upside down. We saw that last week when we were looking at Paul in Acts, and how the people that came against him said that he was totally shaking up the world, completely turning it upside down, making things out to be, just showing them a different way all the way around. And so this freedom that you have in Christ is going to be something that's completely different from the freedom that the world tries to tell you. Completely different from the freedom that is often promoted through the politics of our country, where you are told to go after what you want, your desires, your way, go get it, work hard enough, you can have it. The freedom in Jesus Christ tells us something completely different. And Paul says to us in verse 13, at the end of verse 13, but, three-letter word, that is a huge transition in this text. But, through love, serve one another. You see, the freedom that we have in salvation through Jesus Christ allows us to live out the gospel in a very special way. And that's what we're here talking about this morning in Get in the Game Sunday. This salvation changes our life and allows us to live out that gospel, that picture of what Jesus has done for us. It allows us to live it out in a very special way. Paul says, through love. And then here is the one commandment, the one imperative in all three of these verses. All my grammar nerds, you with me on that? Mine got the imperative. When you see an imperative, it means it's a command. It means it's something to be followed, something to be done immediately. Not to think about it, but to submit to it and to do it. And so here's the imperative. The imperative is to serve one another. What does it mean to serve? Paul's going to outline that more for us in the next couple of verses. But when we think about service, what has to come to our mind is the idea of sacrifice. You compare, he's making a comparing and a contrast here between flesh and the service that is made in the freedom, that's found in the freedom of Jesus Christ. Where flesh goes after our own lust, our own passions, our own desires, we consume, we take, we go for whatever we want. Service, in the way that he's going to teach us to do it here, means sacrifice. It means selflessness. It means giving. It means putting others before myself. It means killing my desires, my passions, my thoughts of what are right and what is best, and embracing what is best in the sight of God and those that God has put in my life, what is best for them. And Paul tells us that this service, this sacrificing we're supposed to do for who? Not just for your family, not just for your husband or your wife, your children, but for one another. And he's writing to believers. And so Paul is calling us to this selfless life of sacrificing and giving for one another. Now, how are we supposed to do this? The means by which we do this is love. Through love, sacrifice for one another. Love in itself is sacrificing. The very picture of love is God himself who did what? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his son who came to this earth to show us how to live a righteous life, and who died willingly, gave up his life and shed his blood on the cross that you and I might be set free from sin, that we might serve one another. That's the gospel. That is what Paul is saying here. Through love, we serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled, I'm in verse 14 now, in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In one phrase, in one statement, he says Jesus has summed up the entire law given in the Old Testament. Everything that was handed down to the Jews is summed up in this one thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. We know the companion that goes along with that is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, right? And so the idea is God and others come before us. God and others comes, they come before me, and they come before what I want. I have to pursue their well-being before I pursue my own. That's what it means to love. It means to be selfless. It means to, in the way that Paul is telling us to do this here, to think of it this way. When we were bound up in sin, the thing that prevented us from fulfilling the law, because let's remember, the Old Testament law condemns us and holds us guilty before God because we can't fulfill it. The law that God gave was his standard. He said, this is my standard of righteousness, and there was no way that we could live up to it. That's why Jesus came and fulfilled that standard by fulfilling all the law, living a perfect life, and then dying when the time was right to pay the penalty for the thing that prevented you and me from fulfilling that law. When sin is removed from our life by the blood of Jesus Christ and the expression of our faith in him through what he has done in his death, burial, and resurrection, sin is taken away. We now have the one thing that prevented us from fulfilling the law taken out of our life. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to live a perfect life, but what it does mean is that you have been empowered, because when the sin leaves, the Holy Spirit comes. And the Holy Spirit resides in the believer and empowers the believer and teaches the believer how to live a righteous life according to the teachings of Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he empowers you to live out the freedom that you have and to love one another. He is the one that gives us the power to do that. The picture of love is a picture of the cross with our Savior nailed on it, sacrificed and dying. That is a picture of love. So to love and to serve one another means that we sacrifice for one another. It means that we give to one another. It means that we serve one another. That's the picture that Paul is painting for us here, that through love we serve one another and we fulfill the law in this one thing, by loving our neighbor as ourselves, by considering others around us to be greater than we are, their needs to be greater than our needs. To love your neighbor as yourself means that you respect that person and you're willing to honor that person and you pursue their greatest good and not your own. That's what it means for us to love our neighbor as ourself, and that is embodied in the person of Christ. We see that through all of his ministry. He pursued the greater good of every human being and not his own. He chose to pay with his life to show us what it means to sacrifice and to love. And we are called to do nothing else. We are called to sacrifice. We are called to give. But here's another image that you need to get in verse 15. For another big transition here in verse 15. But, so this is what we're supposed to do. Live out this gospel in this special way of loving one another, the way that Christ loved us, by sacrificing and giving. But if you don't do that, here's what you can expect. Verse 15 says, if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Paul is telling churches right here in this verse that if your heart, if every member in your church, if their hearts are not inclined to service towards Jesus Christ and service towards others, if your heart is inclined towards seeking your own well-being, your own good, then within the church body, you're going to begin to devour that body of Christ. You see, what he has told us is to live this gospel out by serving one another. And if we fail to do that, if you bite, biting hurts, doesn't it? You ever been bit by a dog or some other type of animal? It hurts. Anyone ever been bitten by a horse? Oh my. It hurts. That's probably the most painful bite I think I've ever had. If you've ever been bitten, you know biting hurts, doesn't it? When we fail to serve one another the way that God has called us to, it's like biting your fellow church members. It does harm to the body of Christ, and so much harm, not just a little bite, but the picture that he gives us here is of an animal in some ways devouring and eating itself. It's not eating a prey, it's eating itself. So that the idea that within the church, every believer that is part of that body of Christ is faithfully serving one another. Do you realize if that cycle goes the way that God intends for it to, that no one in the church will ever want for anything? What you think are your needs, God meets the reality of what you really need and not what you perceive that you need through the people in the body of Christ coming together and serving you. You serve someone else serves you. That's the way it's supposed to work in the body of Christ. And when that cycle is broken by just one person, by one believer in that church saying, you know what, I am not going to serve, I'm going to consume. I'm going to take the freedom that God has given me and I'm going to live it out in the flesh and I'm going to take and I'm going to consume and I'm going to get all that I can from Fairway Baptist Church without ever giving anything back. You do harm to the body of Christ. We are called to serve one another and to love one another the way that Christ loved us, by sacrificing and by giving. And now, when we talk about sacrificing and giving and serving, there are two currencies that we have to deal with here. The currency of time and the currency of money. Those are two things that you have in your life that you have a limited supply of. Am I right? Time and money. You have a limited supply of that. And what we're talking about this morning is not a legalistic thing where you have to serve X amount of hours a week at the church. You have to give X amount of dollars a week at the church or you're not pleasing God. That is not it at all. What we are talking about this morning is a matter of the heart. Love and sacrifice and giving are heart matters. And the reality of this text is that if we aren't willing to sacrifice time, if we aren't willing to sacrifice money, if we aren't willing to do those two things for this body of Christ, then we are living in disobedience to God. Because the command here is what? To serve. That's the one command in this verse. And to serve, we have to discern through prayer. That's why we gave you the bulletins of places to serve and asked you over the last couple of weeks to begin praying and asking God where he would have you commit to the body of Christ this morning in order to serve over this next year. And so we asked you to pray about that, and this morning we're going to ask you to make that commitment. And that is a commitment of your time. The commitment of your time means that it just you have to sit down just like you do with money, and you have to decide, okay, I have X amount of time, I have X amount of money, and I'm going to give God the first fruits of each. And out of what I can, the generosity of my heart and my love for Christ, I'm going to sacrifice X amount of time and X amount of dollars to give to my church body in order to serve them through love. I'm going to dedicate so much time a week to serving. And some of you have done that. Some of you that we've talked to about some key positions in our ministries, you've went and you've prayed and you've thought about it and you've talked to our leadership and you've said, I can only do this time. And that is great because it means you've taken time to think about where God would have you to serve. And that's what we want. And what we are here to do this morning is to make a commitment to one another, to show that love that Christ has for us by serving one another. If we fail to commit this morning to serving Christ, to serving his church, we fail to obey God and we're living in sin. If we fail in discerning God's Holy Spirit and what He would have for us to give, to not give to financially support the ministries of Fairway Baptist Church, we are living in sin and we harm the body according to this passage in Galatians chapter 15. When we aren't sacrificing and giving of self, giving of time and resources to help God's mission at our church, then we are living in sin. Now, I know this morning for some of us, this is a kind of a recommitment time. You've been very faithful in serving the body of Christ, and we are so glad that you are, and we're asking you this morning to commit to that next year of service. For others, this is a wake-up call for some of us to realize that we need to get on board and serve God and His community here at Fairway. This is going to be a time of celebration for us as we go forward with the rest of the service. Now, I want you to listen. If this morning, in looking at this passage, the Holy Spirit has convicted you and has laid on your heart that you have been living in disobedience to Him by not serving or by not giving, this is the time for you to make that right with God. You can commit to Him this morning and say, God, I understand more now by looking at this passage what it means to serve You and to serve Your body by giving up of self, by giving up of the resources that You have given me in order to help Your mission go forward from Fairway Baptist Church. And you can get with Him this morning, and God offers forgiveness for that, and He offers all that you need in order to make that a reality in your life to be able to serve Him and to serve Him well.